Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. My name is Ryan. I'm here with Janet, and on this podcast, we provide information and education on senior care topics. How are you doing, Janet? How was your 4th of July?
I'm well. It was good. It was hot like everybody else, so I watched my fireworks on the TV.
Absolutely.
In the air conditioning.
Yeah, air conditioning, thank God. Imagine 100 years ago, no air conditioning. Oh, my gosh. So today we're talking about what to look for in an assisted living when you're going through some of the tours and things to keep in your head. You know, a lot of times people look at an assisted living as an alternative to private home care or in conjunction with private home care, whatever it might be. But assisted livings, at least in Massachusetts, they're everywhere. It feels like you can't drive a mile or two without seeing. It's like Dunkin' Donuts almost.
I was going to say, it's almost gas stations. It's Dunkin' Donuts. Yep.
Once you realize what you're driving by and you realize what they are, they're just everywhere. And it shows that there's a growing need for it. But with that being said, that also means that there's a lot of options. And you need to kind of know what you're getting yourself into when you go and do these tours. So the first thing that we kind of thought, and I think this is just plain obvious, is cleanliness, right?
Yep.
You go into an assisted living, if they're not, my overall feeling, it's just the same with kitchens, right? When you go into a restaurant, if they're not keeping the menus clean and the tables clean, what are they doing in the back where you can't see things?
Exactly.
And so when you go through these tours, look to see how clean everything is. And you worked in an assisted living, and what would you recommend people kind of look at?
I would excuse myself and go use the public restroom.
All right.
Because the maintenance people that clean one, clean another. So if you find that that's not clean, that can be an indication. And in walking through, someone's going to tour you through, and they always want to put their best foot forward. So you have to kind of see what they're presenting and see what you see on the side. You know, take a deep breath. What do you smell? How do people just plain look? Do they look happy?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, yeah, a smell is another important kind of indicator of things, because if you know, every assisted living has somebody that's incontinent, they're definitely in diapers, and maybe they don't get changed quickly enough. But if you go there and you tour two or three times, and every single time you're smelling human waste throughout the hallways, that's kind of an indicator of what your parents going to be living in possibly on a day-to-day basis. So
yeah, or you could even have somebody that just loves lavender air freshener and they're overpowering their own apartment. So if they're going to tour you on the apartment next door to that, that's something your mom or dad's going to have to live with.
That's a good point. And again, that's why I thought it was important to have you on this one, because that's probably a experience that you've had, not
yes,
just an example.
Yep.
So the number two is probably the next most obvious one, and it's food. You know, you have a saying about the care versus the food, or what was your saying with, I thought you had a saying that you don't know how the care is going to be, but you know how the food tastes. Kind of in the sense, in the vein of, it's tough to know how good the care of a place is going to be until you're already moved in there, but you can kind of check out the food and the cleanliness, use your sight and senses to understand what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, most assisted livings, regardless of the company, has the menu of the day, mm-hmm. and they often have a plate out there that shows you what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a matter of whether it appeals to you. Does it appeal to your loved one?
Yeah.
You know, and if you're looking at a plate that has a chicken breast and a mashed potato and cauliflower, there's nothing there but beige. You know, that's something that may not be appealing. And oftentimes people will complain about food, and that's the bane of the cook's existence.
Yep.
But that's also why people want to use a lot of salt now, because as we've talked in other things, your taste buds wane. So, but is the food hot? You know, how is it prepared?
Is there a variety of the menu?
Is there a variety? Mm.
Is it chicken and mashed potatoes every single day, or is there a bit of a variety? And, you know, you can tour a place more than once, and you
mm-hmm.
can certainly go in there and say, I'm going to come back and have lunch here one day. you know, these people want your business. There's big money. So I don't think you're going to get an admissions director to say no and say, hey, do you mind if I come back two or three times and just try the food and see what's going on and da-da-da-da-da? Because, you know, just like you were saying with when you go on a tour of somebody, they want to put their best foot forward, which is understandable. It's not a bad thing to do. But also you want to see, you know, their best foot forward. They give you the good menu. Well, maybe you come back the next day or another day and just try it out and see if it's consistently good rather than just one day good. Yeah. But at the same time, you're always, you know, people like to complain. Human beings like to complain, not just older people, everybody.
Yeah.
So there aren't too many things that you can complain about in assisted living. Well, what's the number one culprit? The food.
The food, yeah. And it depends, too, how fussy. If you have a family member that is one of those very regimented people that this is what time they eat, they have, almost like back when you were in school, they have shifts in the dining room.
Yep.
So you want to know that if mom insists on eating at 7:30, is there room in the dining room for her at 7:30? Or are they booked up and is she going to have to take the next slot?
Yeah.
You want to just kind of get a feel for those things.
Excellent. The next one I think is important and maybe not thought of as much. And what I want to put is the longevity of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with senior care, whether it's private home care, assisted living, SNFs, hospitals, it doesn't matter. When you're dealing with home health aides, CNAs, even some of the nursing staff, there's going to be turnover. There's always going to be turnover there. What we're talking about with the longevity of the staff is the heads of departments. It feels like though some of the assisted livings that I've gone into, it's a new face every 3 or 4 months or every 6 months, or maybe an assisted living goes through a rough patch where they have just dozens of new people in there for the better part of 2 years.
Yep.
I've also been into SNFs in the area that have had the same heads of staff for a decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something to be said when you have that longevity of staff. Part of that reason is an assisted living is meant to be a community where somebody can age that doesn't need a lot of help. But inevitably, people do need help. And inevitably, safety issues do occur as somebody ages and deteriorates, whether that's physically or mentally. So if you're having a constant turnover in the staffing, whether that's the nurse, the Department of Wellness, the admissions director, the executive director, the chef, you know, some of those big important ones, well, then you're having a new set of folks learning the idiosyncrasies and the nooks and crannies of each individual that's in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so while you can expect there to be turnover, ideally, if you have somebody that has a turnover every 2 or 3 years, well, that's outstanding. If it's every 2 to 3 months, well, you're going to be getting to know a lot of new faces regularly, and that might get frustrating, and there might be lapses in service because of that. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that if there's a lot of turnover, it's human nature. You would stop and think, well, what about emergency procedures? You know, basic things that people need to know what to do. If they lose power, if something like that happens, if everybody's new, everybody's asking everybody else what to do.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to know that. And I find that the same can be true, like to your point, when someone's been there for a period of time, a number of years, chances are they have staff that have done the same thing.
Sure.
Because they like that type of person. And I mean, I can remember going through facilities for my grandmother. This was years ago. And we just laughed when we get home because there were 3 or 4 different caregivers that the person touring us said, oh, and this is Sally. And I said, oh, hi, Sally. And how long have you been here? And when I got to the 4th person and nobody had been there more than a month, that kind of raised a little bit of a flag
sure.
to me. You know, so, and it's an easy, harmless question. Oh, how long have you been here? Oh, that's great. And you keep moving on. And a suggestion I have to people on tours is, you know, have a notepad either right in front of you or in your car because you want to make those notes before you forget them.
Absolutely. So that's certainly a good little tip right there with asking some of the staff how long they've been there. But I personally would look at the heads of staff. But of course, you know, you do want CNAs that have been there a longer period of time. Unfortunately, in our industry, the turnover rate is like the average turnover rate is like 50-60% each year. That if you're doing good, you have a 40 to 50% turnover rate. So there's no way to avoid that. It's just kind of you want some type of continuity there. Within that building, it would be ideal.
I mean, if the entire shift, everybody you see for the time that you're there is new, that raises a flag. But oftentimes, if there's one person that's been there a long time, they're the captain of that shift, and that can work out well. So.
The fourth thing to look at, it kind of goes back to cleanliness, but not necessarily is the decor. I think the decor is important. I think what I'm seeing as I go into more and more assisted livings in this area is modern, and I don't mean this in any bad way, modern apartment style or dorm style living, where small apartments, small bedrooms and areas, but large, lavish community areas and common areas throughout the building. It's really, in some of these brand new ones, it's impressive where they have, you know, a pool area, a pool meaning like billiards. They have a bar. They have multiple cafes and cookie bars throughout and coffee bars throughout. They have live entertainment on one. They have full movie theaters in their buildings. I mean, I think most college kids would love to live in an assisted living at some of the ones that they're making right now. And you need to make sure you know what kind of decor you're looking for. Most of them are going modern. Most of them are going to upscale, modern-looking buildings. But that doesn't mean if you want something old-fashioned, you can still get new old-fashioned decor. You just want to make sure that the decor doesn't look tired. It doesn't look old. It doesn't look like the rugs haven't been changed in 7 years.
I often find screws come loose on drawer handles. You know, you go by, you look around in the room, give the handle a little pull. Those screws, you know, that's a sign of old furniture too, or trim around windows or drapery cord, you know, things like that. You can kind of tell whether it's a little tired, as you put it.
Absolutely. And that just kind of goes back to, like, how often are they updating and reinvesting in the building? Now, none of these companies are doing this stuff for free. So if they're renovating every 5 years, that's going to reflect in the monthly payment that you're paying, right? They're going to obviously have to pay off that renovation every 5 to 7 years. So you might be paying an extra $300 or $400 or whatever the dollars is per month for those future renovations.
Yep.
Now the place that you go in that looks a little tired, maybe they're cheaper, and maybe that's why they're less expensive, because they're not renovating as often. So there's not to say, I mean, cleanliness is more important than an older couch that's seen, you know, better days. But if you're looking for a modern, hip area, then you're going to want to look at the decor, and you're going to want to see what kind of style they have, and then find out when the last time they renovated was. Gives you an idea of how long. Now, granted, if you have a senior that's still good, but maybe they're 98 years old, so you're like, well, if they make it to 100, we'll consider it the luckiest thing in the world. Maybe you're not too concerned about renovations in the next 5 years. But if somebody's moving in there at 65 years old or 70 years old, that sounds kind of young, but whatever. And at 70 years old, maybe somebody says, hey, I want to be in a community like that, and they're expecting to live for another 15, 20, 30 years. Yeah. You're going to want to know how often are you going to be renovating that place.
Yeah, and it depends on the lifestyle of the person that's moving in. If there's somebody that likes to do activities, and they get up in the morning, they get dressed, and they're out of their apartment, and they're looking for amenities, then that's one kind of person. There's someone else that may be a little homebody that likes to read the newspaper rather than watch TV, and they want all their pictures on the wall, and they could care less if there's a bar or bingo or a sports club. So it's kind of... yeah, it's probably less expensive with the fewer amenities, and maybe that's all you need.
And that very well be. You might just need a place where somebody needs to rest their head, be able to shower and get some food, and they're out doing their thing. So, you know, again, you can find different assisted livings with different styles to them. But the more and more I see, the more and more kind of upscale decor that I'm seeing in our area in Massachusetts. Yeah. And they're beautiful, and they're very nice places to walk through, and would be very nice places to live based off of what you can see. So those are four things that you can look at when kind of touring an assisted living and looking into investigating if this is the right assisted living for you. If you have any tips that we didn't think of, let us know. Reach out to us. Otherwise, we will see you on the next one. Thank you very much, Janet, for joining me. And thank you very much for listening. And we will catch you later on tomorrow. Have a good day.